August was tagged Relationship Month, and we've heard a whole lot in the month of August. Thank you, Marwa, for that recap. Dr. Fumida Aramola told us that what got you there can't keep you there. So in your relationship, what actually got you there? Reverend told us that there is character for relationships. Do you actually have the required character for relationships? We came on a town hall session, and then our panelists, they spoke to us. Specifically, I will take a cue from what they said about the 5 R's of relationship. There are rules for relationships. Do you understand the rule for relationship? Are you abiding by the rules of relationship? They said there are roles in relationships. Do you even know what your role is in all those relationships? It could be in courtship. It could be in marriage. It could be in parenting. It could be in business. It could be peer-to-peer. What exactly are your roles? Do you know them? They talked about responsibilities in relationships. You're saying, I'm of marriageable age. Okay, I'm into courtship. But guess what? Even as a man, you cannot even cook indomie. So even if you get married and your wife is pregnant and something happens, maybe the water broke in the middle of the night, are you going to freak out? Are you going to panic? Even when your wife gave birth and you have a baby and the baby is crying and the woman is tired, do you even know what to do? Can you mix Cerelac together and give the baby food? Responsibilities in relationship. As a parent, do you even sit with your kids? Do you play with them? Do they even discuss with you? What is your responsibility over them? Rewards. They talk to us about rewards. Do we reward each other? That woman, maybe you are moving up your career, the ladder of your career. You go out early in the morning, 7:30 as a man. You don't come back maybe until after a week you've traveled. The woman is the one taking care of the home front, preparing food, making sure everything is well kept together. But you don't even seem to reward her. You don't even seem to appreciate. You just, what do you even do? Just sit at home all day and the one bringing the money. Do you think it's easy? You can flip the responsibility. Let her be the one going out and you be the one taking care of the home front. And then you will see that these things are not easy. They said there are repercussions. Repercussions in relationship. There are consequences for neglecting the rules, your roles, and your responsibility. There are consequences when you neglect all these things. So in our journeys in life, in our courtship, in our marriage, in parenting, in association in life, if you've come this far, are you now willing to give up? If you've come this far, are you willing to give up? Or are you willing to fight for that relationship? They said the difference between success and failure is desire. That's the difference. If you saw yesterday, Arsenal played against Manchester City. I'm an Arsenal fan. We were given 5-0. What is the difference? What is the difference? Even little Brentford came and won Arsenal 2-0 with a very low budget. It is the desire. You can't see the fire and the fighting spirit in them. So I'm here to tell you this morning that if you've come this far, please, it is worth it to fight for your relationship. And as we listen today, God will bless us in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 29. We'll be taking an account of Jacob. Genesis chapter 29. Let's go to verse 10. Can you project, please? Verse 10. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. As a man, this is Jacob. He saw a lady that he probably liked, But the first thing he did was not to go and start telling her love stories. The first thing he did was to show value, was to add value to this person. He rolled his sleeves, he went to roll back the stone and watered the flock. Let's go to verse 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Let's go to verse 25. I'm just trying to paraphrase this particular chapter. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then thou hast beguiled me? So what happened here was the account that Jacob wanted to marry Rachel, and he agreed with Laban to say, okay, I will serve you for 7 years. But Laban in his mind knew that I can't give the younger sister when the elder sister is yet to be married. So after 7 years, he gave Leah to Jacob. And in the morning when he woke up, he went in unto her and he saw that, oh, it wasn't Rachel. And then Laban said in verse 26, and Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. 27, he said, fulfill our week and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. So what is he trying to tell Jacob here is that you've come this far. You've done 7 years already for Leah. So if you really love Rachel, it shouldn't take you too much effort to do another 7 years for Rachel just to prove that you love her. See, Jacob came this far. He was so close to getting what he wanted. So what is it that you've toiled? What is the effort that you have given? Are you feeling that, oh, I've been deceived, I can no longer go forward? As long as your relationship is not toxic, Maya already told us that if it's toxic, you need to sit back and do a recount and do a review of your life and see that, what else can I do? Seek help, even if it is judicial separation. Seek help so that you can have a restock of your life and then move on from there. So Jacob did what? He was ready to pay the price for another 7 years for that relationship that he actually wanted. Now, I'll go to my point number one, which I tag, think of the good beginning. Think of the good beginning. What got you there? You know, we're told in some of our teachings in the course of the month that what got you there cannot keep you there. Most times it is love at first sight. Most times it is the fact that, oh, I like the disposition. Oh, God is telling me to go and meet this person, this, this, and that. But you know, love alone is not enough. We already spoke about the rules. We talked about the responsibilities. We talked about the roles. So we fall in love most times, but we rise in marriage. Like Maya said, you married version 1.0. By the time you woke up in marriage, the version has moved to 9.0. Then you are wondering, how did you move these 7 steps? I thought I courted this person for 5 years. I thought I courted this person for 6 years. What actually happened? Does it mean I didn't know this person very well? No. It is because they say love is blind. And then when you get married, your eyes are opened. So all the things you overlook because you love, because it is the exuberance, you think, oh, I can accommodate all these things. But then when your food starts getting late because Madam couldn't wake up very early in the morning, when you came back and food is no longer on the table by 6:30 or 7 p.m. because Madam has also gone to work, can you still tolerate? Can you still say, yes, I love this person? Can you still go to the kitchen and say, okay, my dear, you know what? Let me make the dinner tonight. Or let's go and eat out tonight. Are you still that tolerant to that person? Remember how your heart used to raise for that person at the sound and sight of your partner back then. And you say, ah, your husband is coming. You are running. Oh, my husband, oh, my wife. You quickly want to do this. What got you there cannot keep you there. So it means that there are other things. The maturity we spoke about. How you're taking care of your home, your roles and your responsibility. So these are some of the things that will assist you. Remember, you once fought to stick with this same person that you are thinking today that, hope I have not made a mistake in getting into relationship with this person. Think of the good beginning. It is very sad these days that people don't create fun moments because what they feel that the hustle and bustle of life has taken over their entirety. They really don't have time for their family. So when you sit back, what are the things that you reminisce over? When was the last time you had a vacation with your family? Vacation doesn't mean that you should travel abroad. Vacation doesn't mean that you should leave the shores of Nigeria. You could go to just a ranch. You could go to just a park. You could go to just eatery. It could just be a weekend treat with the family. Create fun moments. Let your family members be able to say that, oh, I remember last year, December. We were at this place. We made this campfire. We went to eat. We went out to do all these things. Create this fun moment. Your first date or conversation together, can you still remember? When you were going to approach that lady to say, I want to marry you, can you remember all the sweet things you told her? Can you remember all the things you said, I will take a bullet for you. Oh, I will take it to the ends of the heavens. Oh, I will take it to the ends of the world. You are the sugar in my tea. As the sugar turns sour now, you are the sugar in my tea. As the sugar turns to salt. So can you remember all those conversations you had with her? Those times, he or she came through for you to your rescue. Remember as a young guy, and then your wife, maybe something happened, and then she came to your rescue. Can you still remember all those days? Now you've become a big man. You have pot belly. You now have money. You are driving maybe one of the best cars in town. And you feel that, she has not contributed anything to my life. But remember when you had just one trouser and just one shirt. She was never ashamed of you. She was all there through thick and thin. Can you remember all those moments? Can you remember those sweet words you said to each other? So when the turbulence of time comes, it is all those fond memories that you have created together that comes back as thinking of the good beginning. Then you start to remember, there was a time that she was there. Because if there are no good moments, then there is nothing to hang on to say this relationship is actually very, very interesting. But when you have created good moments, good memories in the past, when there are rocky times, when there are rocky situations, you can remember, maybe now your husband cannot afford to buy you a new car, but remember the old times that he has bought for you. Maybe now he cannot afford to give you the kind of money he used to give you in the past. But remember those days that even when you don't ask, he gives to you without even asking. Do you also appreciate each other? These are some of the things that goes into our relationship. If you are in a business relationship, do you always wait for your partner to bring up issues before you address them? Do you always wait for them? I have a friend that if you don't ask him to contribute, when we are doing a project, he will never contribute. So he is always waiting for everybody to come around and say, now it is your turn. So that kind of a person, when issues come, it will be the last person anybody will remember. So I remember somebody was telling me, I needed to do a transaction and I need somebody in Nigeria I can trust, blah, blah, blah. And he mentioned that person's name. I said, when it comes to money, don't even mention his name. Please, it should be the last option. Think of other ways you need to go about it. What got you there cannot keep you there. Remember the moments. Try and create good moments. Try and create good memories for yourself, in your relationship, and also for your children, so that you can have a very prosperous relationship. My point number two that I'll be speaking on today, I called barriers to progressing together. What are the barriers to progressing in your relationship? You remember that in the course of our Bible study on Tuesday, we spoke about a very germane topic, unforgiveness. Unforgiven spirit. So my point number one on the barriers to progressing together is unforgiven spirit. In a relationship where there is unforgiven spirit, where both parties cannot forgive or tolerate each other, that relationship cannot progress together. So you must first deal with that. And I'm quite sure that as you're seated here, if you've gone through the series of the Bible study, nobody will be seated here who will have unforgiven spirit. Because you will see that to forgive actually benefits you more than the other party. So I call on you today to say one of the barriers to progressing together in your relationship is unforgiven spirit. So if you still have that in your mind today, if you are still battling with unforgiveness, if you have somebody that you've held so tight in your heart today and you find it very hard to forgive, please today you need to seek help, seek counsel, pray about it, and the Lord will deliver you in Jesus' name. Point number two, I said unhealthy competition amongst couples. It will surprise you that some couples today, they still have competition. So that when I said unhealthy competition, so it means there is actually a healthy competition. So you should practice healthy competition rather than the unhealthy competition. Don't say, Ah, okay, because my husband does this. Okay, me too, I must do this. So that I will know that me too, I have arrived. No, you don't need it. The Bible says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. According to God's word, it says, 1 + 1 = 1. So why are you competing amongst each other instead of complementing each other? Number three, I said unexpressed expectation. Don't assume. People assume too much. Husband is assuming that she should know now. Have you spoken to her about it? She should know now. Have you spoken to him about it? Don't assume. Unexpressed expectation becomes unmet desire. When the desire is unmet, it leads to rancor in the family. When the desire is unmet, it leads to agitation in the relationship. And when there's agitation in the relationship, you cannot enjoy the best of such relationship. So if you want to have a good relationship on earth, you should not keep unexpressed expectation. Lay the cards on the table. There's no point hiding for each other. And as you do that, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Another one is unappreciative character. Some people don't just appreciate it. In fact, if you, anything you give them, if you try, jump from cocoa house down because of them, they don't even appreciate. They have a negative attitude. They are stuck in their past because somebody has actually maybe offended them in the past. Maybe they've come out from a very abusive relationship or from a very abusive character or something, and they are stuck in that past that it has affected their character going forward. It has affected their men. So even when they have somebody who is being nice to them, that negative attitude comes to play in their life and it affects every relationship they have. And that is why all the time they are the ones always pointing accusing fingers. They are the ones always saying, this is what this person has done. They are the ones that the people I call fault finders. You know, it will surprise you that in your relationship, if you are always looking for faults, trust me, you will find faults. If you are always looking for fault, you are always watching. Instead of you to open your eyes and see the good side of your partner, and see the good side of your spouse, you are always, that was how you did yesterday. You started again. You are going towards what you did 2 years ago. You are always finding fault. Negative attitude. Attitude, they say, is everything. The guy or the marriage or relationship that succeeds, it is about attitude. Even when you have frustrating children that you are trying to bring them up in the way of the Lord and they are still frustrating your attitude, it is your prayer, it is your communication with God, not putting on the negative attitude. Because if you put on the negative attitude and say, I have trained this child, you will not listen to me, I've done this, I've done that, and then you also say, okay, I will fold my hands and also be looking, it will get worse. It will not be for the better of anybody. So I'm trying to tell you today that there are all this attitude that is negative. You don't need it in your relationship. Being stuck in your past, let go of the past. Whatever has happened in the past should not define what will happen to you in the future. This is very, very important. Another one I call here is avoiding change. You see, we live in self-denial. People want to avoid the change. When you married him, he had 6 packs. Everywhere was very tight, slim, chesty. Or she was figure 8 and all those things. But you've forgotten that you've been feeding well. It wasn't a case of you eat 0-1-0. Now, the tummy is coming out. The man doesn't have 6 packs again. He's having pot belly. And you're looking at him. I don't see. Maybe there's somebody now in your office that has 6 packs. And you're comparing to say, the body is changing. How it was 5 years ago, it can't be the same today. Otherwise, people will say, is something wrong with you? So, don't avoid those changes. When your wife is yet to give birth, after childbirth, the body will change. So don't shame her. Don't say, this is your tummy, this and that. I'll have to take you to the gym. Because by the time you are talking to her like that, you are causing depression in her. You want her to start to measure up to your standard. And by that, she might be depressed. So you need to appreciate all these things. Stop avoiding change. Changes will come. They say the only thing that is constant in life is change. So embrace it with open hands, with positive attitude. And as we do so, our relationship will experience bliss on earth in Jesus' name. Another one I say, lack of financial planning or discipline. You see, some people want to assume that, yes, I have money. Yes, thank God, God has provided for you. You can afford almost anything and everything. But you know what? Because you can afford it, doesn't mean you should procure it. You should have a good financial plan and discipline. A family that does not have a financial plan obviously will head for a rock one day. So as a couple in a relationship, you should define what are your expenses, what are your income, what are the things you jointly put monies together to go and do. So you should align all these things together so that you don't have problem or argument. When you don't have good financial plan, that's when the wife will say, this is what I want to do. The husband will say, this is what I want to do. And before you know it, this small argument could lead to a crack in the family. I pray that we'll take a cue in all of this in Jesus' name. I said, stop running yourself down. Low self-esteem. Stop saying that, I don't think I can do this. Because my husband is a professor and you are just maybe a BS holder and you now feel inferior to your husband. No, you are also as valuable as he is because you are a stakeholder in that relationship. Let me tell you something. You were the best option when he married you. You were the best option when she also married you. So don't ever run yourself down. Things might have changed over the period of time. You can still add value to yourself and you can become valuable in that relationship. I'll go to my next point, which I call overcoming relationship setbacks. This is where we'll dwell a bit and we'll have some action points to do here. Overcoming relationship setbacks. Now, number one, I said grow together to complement each other. Grow together. As a man, you married your wife and then you're on the fast lane, running your career. You've gone for a doctorate degree, you've gone for that, you've gone for this, and then you are just flying, and then you left the woman there. So small time, you become a professor now, and then you now start telling her, you know, I'm a learned man of the law, this and this, you didn't add value to yourself. No, it is actually your fault. Why don't you grow together so that you can complement each other? Don't be the guy that at some point you now say, this woman is no longer fit for me. Such people are not in this auditorium. But it happens. It happens in life. The other one will be growing at a very fast rate and leaving the other one behind. Please stop doing that. Grow together. As you are growing, add value to your spouse. When your spouse becomes out of fashion, you lack the passion. Your relationship lacks passion. When you feel that your partner is now out of fashion, it is because that relationship lacks passion. If there is passion in that relationship, you will handhold each other and move on the lane together so that you can complement each other. Spice up your relationship. Don't just be boring. Don't over-spiritualize every issue. There are things you need to sit down together and discuss together amongst yourself. Don't avoid talking to each other. And then it is in the place of prayer that you'll be discussing your issue. When they say, let us pray, you now be saying, oh God, you see that thing that my husband did last time? I really don't want it. That is over-spiritualizing issue. Why can't you call each other together, sit down, and have a common front of discussion and sort out your issue? Spice up your relationship. Don't be a boring couple. Communicate with each other. That is, talk and listen to each other. Communication is about talking and listening. Some people talk, they don't listen. Some people listen, they listen wrong. They are not even hearing the things you are saying. This is very wrong. So get on good communication. Talk to each other. Listen to each other. Think positive and sow seeds in each other. Do you sow seeds in your wife? Do you sow seeds in your husband? Because if you sow good seeds, you will reap it at the end of the day. Talk to each other. Think positive about yourself. Sow good seeds in each other. Stop running yourself down by amplifying why you can't achieve it. No, that should be in the past. It should not happen in the relationship. You've come this far together. You need to grow together. And as you do that, the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Action points now. These are things I want you to do. If you have a pen, please write down. Write down where you want to see your relationship in the next 5 years. Your spouse, your dates, your children. This relationship I'm talking about, it could be you and your children. It could be you and your spouse. It could be you and your business partner. It could be you and everybody. In any relationship you have today, what and where do you want to see yourself in the next 5 years? Write it down today and work towards it. Number two, I said write down one major issue you desire to resolve with your partner. What is that one major issue that you have been avoiding for a very long time? Write it down today. And then you need to make progress towards talking about it with your partner in the next 30 days. If you need help, get help. There is help in the house. Develop a workable family budget. Your goals, What are your goals as a family? What are your goals and your aspirations? What are your expenses? What are your savings? What are your givings and support to others? Do you know little things, as much as little as giving to family members, cause trouble in some family? The wife will say, you always give to your father. You always give to your mother. But when my own parent needs something, you are not there. You'll be giving excuses that you don't have. Why don't you sit down and agree? Me and my family, I agree with my wife to say, at the end of the year, for our Christmas gift, these are the things we will give to A. This is what we will give. So it is unambiguous. We've already agreed. So everybody knows. Even when I'm not around, she's the one dispensing it. She knows that, okay, this goes to this person. This goes to this person. So these are some of the things you need to do as action point. I'll repeat again. Write down where you want your relationship to be in the next 5 years. Write down that big issue. One thing that you want to discuss with your partner that you've been avoiding for a very long time. And in the next 30 days, make progress towards discussing it. Develop a workable family budget in your family. And as you embark on all these things, the Lord will help our relationships in Jesus' name. Perhaps your relationship is rocky. Maybe you think it is beyond redemption. My brothers and sisters, no. God can actually take control. Where there is a will, there is always a way. What has dimmed the light of your love in your relationship? You can get it back. You have come this far. Don't give up. If you desire it, ignite the spark again and make it work. The decision is yours. And the Bible says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. May the Lord bless you all this morning in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads to pray. Commit this little that you've heard unto the hands of the Lord. Pray to the Lord and say, God, help. Help me in my relationship. If the relationship is rocky, this is the time to seek the face of the Lord. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The Lord will give you rest. Lord God Almighty, we pray this morning that you give us rest in our relationships in Jesus' name. Wherever the shoe pinches, Lord of heaven, we pray, because there's a balm in Gilead, we pray that you will heal every issue in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord of heaven, we pray as we progress from here, Lord, our relationships shall enjoy heavenly bliss on earth in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you because we know you have answered. We bless and worship your name. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.